Blog Talk Radio. My home is in Louisville, Mississippi. It's located in the Black Delta, Mississippi, known as the Delta Eight. So I was forced away from the plantation because I wouldn't go back and withdraw, you know, my literacy test after I had tried to take it. I wouldn't go back, and I had to leave, and my husband was forced to stay on this plantation until after the harvest season was over, and then the man that we had worked for, he'd taken the car, and the most of the few things we had been stolen, and I've been in jail, and I've been beat. I had been to a voter registration workshop, you know, to just training and teaching us how to register to pass the literacy test, and it was giving us enough training that we could tell other people, you know, how to pass the literacy test. So we had attended a workshop from the 3rd of June to the 8th, and then we got the Continental Trailway bus to come back to Mississippi, and we got to Winona, Mississippi, I would say about 10:30 that Sunday morning on our way back to Greenville. Ordered the second Negro to take the blackjack. And during the time he was beating, I began to work my feet because that was a horrible experience. And the State Highway Patrolman ordered the first Negro that had beat to sit on my feet while the second one beat. And I just began to scream where I couldn't control it. And then the white man got up and began to beat me in the head. I have a blood clot now in the artery to the left thigh, and a permanent kidney injury on the right side from that beat. These are the things that we go through in the state of Mississippi, just trying to be treated like a human being. But still, this is called a part of America. The Justice Department brought a suit against these five law officials from Mississippi. And they had their trial in Oxford. And they had every evidence in the world if it ever was going to be any people convicted. Because we had flew to Washington, D.C. and had the pictures made, and they had the pictures today of what happened to us in that jail. The bus driver, they even had the waitresses from Winona at the bus terminal that said we hadn't done anything. We hadn't done no demonstration. The Negroes that they forced to beat me, they came and they told the truth. They told how these white men had made them drink corn whiskey before they did beat us because they figured, you know, if they didn't have something in them, they might not do it. They told all of that, and nothing has been done. Those same men, I guess, are still wearing their guns. They are very powerful in the state of Mississippi. But some of the people, I think, is beginning to get where now they just don't care. They are beginning to see if they try to do anything for themselves, well, they'll be killed anyway, because it's nowhere that I would call myself going in the state of Mississippi to be protected by a police official, because they are worse than a savage. As you know, the three civil rights workers that was murdered in Mississippi, they said their civil rights hadn't been violated. They are dead. In fact, the same men, Rainey and Price, was assisting the people across the street when they was having memorial service this year for Cheney and Goodman and Michael Strana. And Michael Strana was a Jewish person. He was one of the greatest men I ever met. I knew him very well, and his wife, Rita. And you know, I couldn't have went there for a memorial service not and let these same two police officials guard me across the street. I wouldn't have been low enough to low their death to go across the street, let them guard me across the street. But if it hadn't been for them, they wouldn't have been dead. The way I got involved in the Freedom Democrat Party is we tried to get in the regular Democrat Party. We tried from the precinct level up to the county and from the county to the state. I remember when we tried to attend the precinct meeting at the little polling place in Louisville, it was eight of us, eight Negroes, went up to visit the precinct meeting. And the door was locked, and we couldn't get in. And we stood on the outside and held our own meeting. If we hadn't tried to go in it, and then just set this one up, they would have said from the beginning, if we had tried, we could have got in there. We elected our chairman and our secretary, our delegates and our alternates. And we passed the law at the resolution the 24th of April in 1964. We organized at the Masonic Temple in Jackson, Mississippi, the Mississippi Freedom Democrat Party. And then the 24th of August in 1964, we went to the National Convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey, to challenge the seating of the regular delegation from Mississippi. We got quite an education in seeing what the whole Democrat Party of this country was like. In fact, I cried. I don't know would I really been involved in politics now if I had known it was like it is. We was offered two votes at large as a compromise in the convention. But after 100 years, we wouldn't accept a compromise because it didn't mean anything to 63,000 people that at that time was registered with the Freedom Democrat Party, so we didn't compromise. So again, in January, beginning the 4th of January, the three candidates from the Freedom Democrat Party, Mrs. Gray, Mrs. Devine, and I went up before the door of the House of Representatives to contest the seating of the five representatives from Mississippi. And we was turned away, and we wasn't allowed to even go in to have, you know, to contest our seating. We didn't go there to be seated because we knew from the beginning that we wouldn't be seated, but we wanted to explain our side, whereas in a state that 42% of the people can't register, they wasn't representing us. And I think somebody, it's time now for somebody to be in Congress. We're going to represent the people of Mississippi. And we wasn't allowed to go inside, but that didn't stop the challenge. We did have that day 149 congressmen that stood up against these people being seated. So we are still working with this challenge, and we hope by the last of this month, which is August, that we will have a chance to unseat these congressmen. Because actually, this voting bill that the president passed last week, it doesn't mean anything. And I'm not looking for a voting bill in 1965 when they are not enforcing the voting bill and our voting rights with the 15th Amendment, which guaranteed us the same rights to vote from the 15th Amendment in 1870. And at that time, 1870, Mississippi was readmitted back to the Union because they promised at that time that they wouldn't do anything to disenfranchise Negroes to keep them from registering to vote. So now it's a matter of a violation of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. What I'm curious to see, do the Constitution of the United States mean anything?
Mississippi is still a very rough place. You know, people is not just walking up like they used to do in the past, walking out, you know, shooting a man down or getting maybe 200 or 300 people carrying you out and lynching you, but it's in a more subtle way. You know, they let you starve to death, not give you jobs. These are some of the things that's happening right now in Mississippi. See, Mississippi is not actually Mississippi's problem. Mississippi is America's problem. Because if America wanted to do something about what has been going on in Mississippi, it could have stopped by now. It wouldn't have been in the past few years, between 40 and 50 churches bombed and burned. You see, and this, you know, this leads me to say, you know, all of the burning and bombing that was done to us and the house, nobody never said too much about that, and nothing was done. But let something be burned, you know, by a black man, and then, my God, you know, across this country. They know what they've done to us. This country is desperately sick, and man is on the critical list. I really don't know where we go from here.
Thank you very much, Martha Smith. I don't know whether I'll have to holler or not because I'm just used to talking loud. So I don't have too much people having to carry my voice. But with this kind of introduction, Martha Smith is a very good friend of mine. I remember going on educational television with Martha about 2 years ago here at the university in Wisconsin. And honest to God, this woman tickled me to death. You know, I had all kinds of trouble. But she just brought all of that out, and for a while I could relax just doing this show with Martha Smith. I would like to say this is a beautiful audience out here to me this afternoon because I always like people. A couple of weeks ago, I was doing a show in New York City for NBC in the role of a black woman, and somebody asked the question during the time we was on this panel, how did I feel talking to a lot of people? I said, I feel like I always feel because I know out there in front of me is just some little folks. You know, so I care about us. So you get up and tell them the truth. Now, you might be expecting me to have a long essay written down that I would have to use my glasses every 5 minutes and miss where I am. But I don't carry around a manuscript because it's too much trust. I'm just up here to rap and to tell you what it is and to tell it like it is. As Martha said, I was born 53 years ago in Montgomery County. Now, Mississippi, you heard about this twister the other week, but it was already a disaster area before the twister. And it's been a disaster area 53 years. I know what people over me said to the disaster before then. I was born 53 years ago to Mr. and Mrs. Jim Townsend. And I am the 20th child. And so help me God, I respect my mother so much that they didn't have the birth control pills. Because if they had them, I probably wouldn't be standing here today. So as I made that narrow escape to be here, I fight for the other kids too to give them a chance. Because if you give them a chance, they might come up being Fannie Lou Hamer than something else. But during the time I was a child, my education was very limited. So I had to start work when I was 6 years old. I remember one day I was playing beside a gravel road, and the landowner asked me could I take care. And I told him I didn't know. And he told me he wanted to that week and 6:30 pounds. I went to the field and I did 6:30 pounds of cotton. But the next week I was past 60 pounds of cotton. And by the time I was 13 years old, I was picking 200 to 300 pounds of cotton. My family was some of the poorest people that was in the state of Mississippi, and we were sharecroppers. Now, sharecropping is really something that's out of sight. Number one, what I found since I've been old enough, it always had too many ifs in it. Number one, you had to plow it. Number two, you had to break it up. Number three, you had to chop it. Number four, you have to pick it. And the last, number five, the landowner took it. So this left us with nowhere to go she was mend my clothes over and over. And I watched her when she would wear things that were so heavy. After she had mended them time after time, looked like she would have trouble carrying. At first, I couldn't understand why this just always happened to black people. So I asked my mother one day, how come we wasn't white? The reason I asked her that, because we worked all the time. The white folks never worked, and they had everything. Now, this was really curious to me, as it still is. So my mother told me, number one, you want me to remember to respect myself as a black guy. And I got, and she said, maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about now, but one day, if you respect yourself, other people will have to respect you. My grandmother was a slave. Liza Bramley. Liza Gopher Bramley. She had 20 boys and 3 girls. And I know what has happened to us in the past. But after I become about 13 years old and find out how mean that people could be to people, I said that I was going to do something about what was happening in this system. So that's the reason I become involved in politics in 1964. But it has been other things in my life that I have done that some of the white people don't know that I've done yet. Because, number one, I always had to work at their house. So they would tell me that I couldn't eat with them, or I couldn't bathe in their tubs. So what I would do was eat before they would eat and bathe when they were done. I used to have a real ball knowing they didn't want me in that tub and just relaxing in that bubble. Everything they put on them and walk out, and they couldn't wear a line because they had the same thing on them. So when they were saying that I could eat with them, it would tickle me because I was telling myself, babe, I'll eat first. And one of the other things I done when I was a kid, and after I got to be a grown woman, you know, we had to wash, you know how we had to carry those on to wash for the white people. And if they have a dance in 50 miles, I want a best dress. Because I hold them close. You know, we have to know, I was rebelling in the only way that I could rebel. So what I'm saying to you, white America, please don't say what black people can't do, because some of the things we've been already doing. The sad thing that has been in the whole country is what white America done to us and how we can forgive. When I think about the question that comes up so often about how 6 million Jews was destroyed under Hitler's administration, I felt the kinship, because it wasn't 6 million of my people destroyed. It was 40 million of my people destroyed as they were bringing my ancestors here on the slave ships of Africa. When I think about the crime that's been committed against us as human beings and as people, I can forgive easily for a lot of things. But when white America taken my name, that was a crime. I went some time ago to Charleston, South Carolina, and I looked at the documents there. And some of the documents there would say, call the name of a person, and said, she doesn't have and not human beings. And I think about some of our past history. When you never told us, white America, that it was a black doctor that learned to save blood plasma, to give a blood transfusion. You never taught that in the institution. And you never taught us that the first man to die in a revolution was Christopher Acker, another black man. And so many other things that I've found out. And so many things that I've found out about the church. If you really want to see some hypocrites, if you really want to see some hypocrites, go to 11 o'clock church service throughout the country. Not only in the black churches, but in the white churches. While they will tell us and tell you it's scared. While those people are all right, but just don't bring it home with them. But the contribution that we have made in the past, and we know as well as you know, that this country was built on the blood and the sweat of black people. And all we are saying to you today, now what you have done in the past, you've done that. But we can't let you get away with just trying to wipe us out as human beings. And some of the black folks have got so confused. They talking about setting up seven states with us, which I refuse to let them do. Setting up seven states with us. And one night, the white citizen council and the Ku Klux Klan and the virtues which you have here to wipe us out. And I'm not going in seven states by ourselves. We plan to be in this country with you, whether you want us here or not. And we plan to make this a better place for all the citizens, both black, red, white, and brown, if you want to come. Hung up in all of my work in just fighting for the black. I've never been hung up in that.
called Magic for Magic. Martha Smith is a part
charge of the political science there, and he also started raising my excuses. We finally succeeded in getting 40 acres of land. And this land is all organized and funded and scrutinized. It's called Freedom Farms Co-op. Last summer, we fed a lot of people there. But then we needed more land. So it was a man told me one day that he would sell 640 acres of land. And you know, it was just like I'd been hearing in the past that, oh, there ain't nothing to that. We might get $2 or $3. But we'll have to try. Last April, we were able to put $20,000. And you know, it was just like I'd been hearing in the past that, oh, there ain't nothing to that. We might get $2 or $3. But we'll have to try. Last April, we were able to put $20,000 as an option on the 640 acres of land. Then on the 14th of January, 1971, we finished the down payment of $65,500 on 640 acres of land. And we had enough for that same march out of Madison, Buffalo, and Milwaukee to do that. And we also have about 58 people that's living in these homes. We put the down payment on that land. So now what we plan to do is to grow our own vegetables, is to grow our own cattle, and to grow our own poultry, and have 100 houses in that area. Now, it's no way on earth that we can gain any kind of political power unless we have some kind of economic power. And all the qualifications that you have to become a part of the co-op is you have to be full. This is the first kind of program that has ever been sponsored in this country in letting local people do their thing that day. Because I've seen government-funded programs with cooperatives. And after you get through making the proposal with a stack of paper this high, and after you finish paying all the administration from $25,000 to $12,000, it'd be exactly $2 to go to the program. The only person that's paid at this point is the secretary. And you don't tell me that you can't change a man's mind by not paying. We are going through all kinds of pressure. But I refuse to hate a man because he hates me. Because if I hate you because you hate me, it's no different. Both of us are miserable. And we're going to find the path of something to take. But as a result of what I can give of myself, that I can love you if you hate me, we have poor whites that's coming into this organization, and we are going to feed not only the black people of Sunflower County, but all the people that come here regardless of color. And the young people are the people that made this possible for us. You know, I just about fell out with all the people my age. I'm 53. And most of them my age are hopeless cases. But I am 53, but I think 19. Thank you. people. But it's people now that want to put the trailer houses where they don't have any kind of students. But you got to care enough to do something. Because what you do here in Madison, Wisconsin, is at this university. You're not only doing this for us in the South, but you're doing it for yourself. I've noticed what was happening with the Young World Development with the walk. The walk that will be held on the 8th and 9th of May. I see this as an opportunity of bridging the gap between young people. Bridging the gap because not only do I think that white children and young white men and young white women should walk, but I think the responsibility of the black people to walk here too. And as they walk throughout this country with 350 walks in this country and 40 other countries funding the walk, will be millions of people walking throughout the country, out the world. Because one thing I find out, that it's not only hunger in the state of Mississippi, but two-thirds of the people in the world are hungry. And we have to be concerned. And you have to be concerned here. Because we know with the administration that we have today, it's not too many people going to eat. But I want you to know one thing. That President Nixon wasn't no fool when he got angry. Because back to his face, nobody is going to hurt President Nixon to leave us standing with battle agony. But all of you here have to be concerned. Not only do we have to be concerned about hunger, but we also have to be concerned about peace in this country. You know, it's something strange to me when they tell me that we are over there in Vietnam fighting for the rights of people to elect our government and all of this kind of crap with Eastern and Senate helping to make policies when we can't do it in Mississippi. And you young people are going to have to help make this change. Because we can't continue on the same way, expanding the war in Vietnam, killing the people over there, and people being shot down in the streets throughout this country sometimes in the name of law and order. I've been to jail. And I've been beaten in jail till my body was hard as metal. And I've been charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. And there's a lot of other young people throughout this country that have been beaten down. But I want you to know something in this audience today. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A nation divided against itself is on its way out. We are going to have to stand up and make demands that will make this country worthwhile. Because I have trouble today, and I've had trouble in the past few years, about Columbus discovered America. And when he got here, it was a black brother that worked up there and said, let me help you, man. And it was some Indians here too. So how could he discover what was already discovered? The education has got to be changed in these institutions.
Such a big